So one of the mitzvahs in Parshas Kisaitzeh is the mitzvah of Zechir Samalek, Zachar Eitzes Ras Alecha Amalek. There's a well-known chiddush that the Sefer Chinuch says over there. He talks about that mitzvah. He says that it's Nehages B'Zacharim V'Lo B'Nekevis. You know, by every mitzvah the Sefer Chinuch tells you at the end of the discussion who the mitzvah applies to. So he says over here, Nehages B'Zacharim V'Lo B'Nekevis. That means Nashim are Pater from this mitzvah. And he explains why, because since the mitzvah is to for the sake of eradicating Amalek, and Nashim are not benayis melchama, it's only men that fight in melchama, and Nashim don't fight in a melchama, so therefore they're part of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. So this is a big chiddush that the Sefer Chinuch says. Now, you know, if this was the winter, not the summer, so this would be an interesting halacha l'maisa discussion. Do women have to go to shul for Parshas Zachar? Do women not have to go to shul for Parshas Zachar? In America, it's very widespread minhag that nashim go to shul, even if they never go to shul, but one time a year, everybody tries that nashim should go to shul for Parshas Zachar. In Europe, I think in different places in Europe, there were different minhagim. My understanding is that in Litta, the women did not go to shul for Parshas Zachar. But it's not the winter.
There's minyanim every afternoon for those who missed.
Right. Right. So we're not really focusing on the halacha lemaisa aspect of it, but more the lamdas of it. The Sefer Chinuch says this chiddush that the nashim are paturis because they're not benayis melchama. And the Minchas Chinuch, classic commentary on the Sefer Chinuch, he has a series of four kashas on this chiddush of the Sefer Chinuch, and he's so insistent with his kashas that he argues the halacha, so even though he lived 600 years later. He says that he disagrees, and he says that Nashim Archayavis in the midst of Zechir HaSamalek. And his four kashas are like this. He says, first of all, the usual rule by Mitzvah Saseh, if we want to determine Nashim being chayav or pater, is it zman grama or lav zman grama? This is a mitzvah that's not a zman grama, which might strike us as being a little bit surprising because we think of this as being the mitzvah that we do the Shabbos before Purim. But that's really, you know, that certainly doesn't come from the Torah, for sure, that you should do it the Shabbos before Purim. We put it the Shabbos before Purim because, I mean, even Purim doesn't come from the Torah, but since that week we're going to be celebrating Purim, which has to do with Amalek, so we do this the Shabbos before Purim. The truth is that, well, maybe a little bit later in the shiur, no, you know, let's already discuss now. It's not even really clear that Kriyas HaTorah that we do, the Shabbos before Purim, has anything to do with this mitzvah. What is the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? So one pass, you know, there's very little chazal about this mitzvah. There's nothing really in the Talmud Bavli. The Sefri says that because it says Zachar and it also says Leitishkach, so we know that it's not only belev but also bepeh. So there's a mitzvah bepeh. But what is this mitzvah bepeh? Does it mean a Kriyas HaTorah that you have to read from a Sefer Torah the words, the parasha of Zachar Eitzes Ras Amalek, to recite those words looking into a Sefer Torah? That's the way Tosfos takes it. Tosfos says that when Chazal say that Zachar means bepeh, so that means you have to lane the parasha of Zachar, like you have to lane the parasha of Kriyashma, you have to lane the parasha of Zachar, but even more than that, because the parasha of Kriyashma, yes, you have to lane it, meaning you have to say those words, but you don't have to lane it from a Sefer Torah. And Tosfos seems to hold, for some reason, that by the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, there's a mitzvah dafka to lane it from a Sefer Torah. So that's, we'll call the most extreme shita. That's Tosfos' shita, that the mitzvah d'oraisa is to lane the parasha. You could have a position that's close to that, but a step down, that it's exactly like Kriya Shema. There's a mitzvah to lane this parasha, but it doesn't have to be from a Sefer Torah, but it's a mitzvah to say these words. But then there's an entirely different possibility. This is the way the Ramban explains the mitzvah, is that it has nothing to do with saying these words. There's no mitzvah to recite Zachar Eitz Asher Asalacha Amalek. The mitzvah of Zachar is that Klal Yisrael should remember the story. And so it has to be passed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. If there's the mitzvah of Zachar says that if you're a parent and you have children, so one of the things that they have to know by the time they finish growing up in your house is what Amalek did to us. And, you know, if you teach them Shabbos and you teach them Yom Tov and you see it's Mitzrayim and all that, but they never heard about Amalek and they're not going to know it, they're not going to be able to tell it over to their children, then you are mevatel the mitzvah of Zachar. But if they do know it, because they learned it in your house, or you send them to yeshiva and they learned it in yeshiva, so then you are mekayim the mitzvah of Zachar. So it's really, it's a curriculum. It's not a ceremony. It's not a specific ma'aseh mitzvah. That's how the Ramban takes it. So now, so coming back to the Mechatz Chinuch, certainly according to the Ramban, it's not a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. There's no Zman at all. But even because there's no event, there's no ma'aseh to this mitzvah. But even according to Tosfos, that there is a specific ma'aseh mitzvah, you read the parasha of Zachar, but when are you supposed to read it? It doesn't say anywhere when you're supposed to read it. We read it the parasha the week before Purim. You know, that's part of a series of Arba parashas that we do in Chodesh Adar, and the others are all Drabbanan, right? The week before we read Parashas Shkolim, and the following week Parashas Parah, and the week after that we're going to read Parashas Achodesh, and all of those are Tekanis Drabbanan because they're appropriate messages for that time of year. So B'Pashtus, that which we lain Zachar at that time also is a Tekanis Drabbanan. So there's a mitzvah, at most there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to lain it sometime, and the Rabbanan said to lain the parasha before the week before Purim. So, but there's certainly no Zman in the Torah. Meaning, for sure, according to the Ramban, but even according to Tosfos, there's no Zman in the Torah for this mitzvah. So, is this a mitzvah that says Zman Grama or Lav Zman Grama? It's Lav Zman Grama. And a mitzvah says that's not Zman Grama, Nashim are Chayavis. So, certainly our starting point would be that Nashim should be Chayavis. Furthermore, here's question number two. The whole distinction that Chazal made between Zman Grama and Lav Zman Grama, that's only by a mitzvah saseh. A mitzvah loisas and nashim are always chayavis. Almost always. Chazal say that they're always chayavis with the exception of the mitzvah of cutting the facial hair. Like sashchis and leisakif, those are two mitzvahs having to do with cutting facial hair. That's not relevant to nashim. Otherwise, all mitzvahs loisas apply to nashim. So to say that, and now over here, Zechiras HaMalek has an assay, Zachar is Asher Asa L'cha Malek, and a Leisa Asa. So the last pasuk goes, Timchaz Zachar Malek, Mitachas HaShamayim, Leitishkach. Leitishkach, that's a Leisa Asa. So how can Nashim be Pater from that? Nashim, we never find that they're Pater from a Leisa Asa. So first of all, it's a Asay Shalai Zman Grama. Second of all, it's a Leisa Asa.
What about the other Zuchiros? Their women are Chayv in those?
Oh, okay, very good question. The Miriam, other Zechiris, like Zechiris Miriam. So, okay, so Shabbos is a separate category. It's true that Nashim are Chayavais. Over there, Chazal say that they're Chayavais, but Chazal say that they're Chayavais because of a Hekesh between Zachar and Shamar. Had there not been a Hekesh, then they would have been Pater, because that's a Mitzvah Seisha. That is a classic Mitzvah Seisha Zman Grama. It's once every 7 days. So their nashim would have been patriots, but their chayavis because Zachar v'Sham b'dibarach and nemru. That's what makes the hekesh. The others, nashim probably you'd think would be chayavis the same way they are. The same way you think that they're chayavis, and this is zechira, but it's not as clear really that those are real mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't count any of the other zechiras as a mitzvah. I say the Ramban calls him out for that, and he says, you know, why don't you count Zechiras HaMalek and Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai as a Mitzvah Saseh? But the Rambam didn't count it as a Mitzvah Saseh. But by Zechiras HaMalek, where everyone agrees that it is a Mitzvah Saseh, I think all the Maimon Mitzvahs included, the Sefer Chinuch has this Chiddush.
Zechiras Mitzrayim is not?
Well, it is. So that for sure is a Mitzvah Saseh.
Are they Chayim in that one? We include in Kriya Shema. That's how we always think of it.
Right. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Nashim Chayavos, that's a simon on the Shakas Aryeh. Anyway, we talked about it not long ago, although, I mean, we talked about that simon, but I don't think we actually addressed this question. But if you remember, we were talking a few weeks ago about how if you have a mitzvah, that the time is really all the time, but it recurs again periodically. Because it's every day and every night, all day and all night. So you might think, okay, that's called Lav Zman Grama. But on the other hand, no, every day you have to do it again because it's a new day, and every night you have to do it again because it's a new night. So that's an interesting shayla. Would that be called Zman Grama or not? And the shayla gets argued, I think, argues that that's called Zman Grama, and then Nashman should be for two rights.
How about what he just said? Atem Hoy Benay, so they were in the Nays of Amalek.
He didn't say that.
He just said
what?
No, about, he said it about Yetzias
Mitzrayim. Oh.
I'm saying, why can't you use
okay, that? Okay, that's a nice hara. That is there an Afin Hayu Ba'isi and Nays Ligabi Zechiris Amalek?
Yeah.
It's,
they went through it just like the
absolutely, the right, Zuhar. They did. Is this Zecher to the Nays, or is this Zecher to the Peronus, to the attack? And then there's also the question, which we're not going to get into today, but is Afin Hayu Ba'isi Neis relevant on a Dereisa level or not? Tosfos and Kedushin, Tosfos and Megillah. I mean, I'm not Kedushin, I'm sorry. Tosfos and Pesachim, Tosfos and Megillah. But it's a good horror. We're going to leave that on the side for now. So where we're left is that the Mechitz Chinuch has two strong reasons why Nashim should be Chayavos, and therefore, if someone wants to claim that they're Pater, he has to do a very, heavy lift. He has to bring a very, very compelling argument. So now we come to the actual argument that the Sefer Chinuch made, which is, well, they should be Pater because they're not B'nai Smochama. So the Mechitz Chinuch says, okay, now we come to my third and fourth Kasha. So first of all, let's assume you're right, that they're not B'nai Smochama. What does this mitzvah have to do with Mochama? There is a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek to it, right? Timcha Azeich Amalek. That's a mitzvah that involves Mochama. This is a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. To say that they're Pater from this because they're not B'nai Smochama presupposes that the two mitzvahs are linked. And the whole reason for this mitzvah is because of that mitzvah. So to that, the Mechitz Chinuch says, okay, it may be, it's not a crazy thing to suggest, but there's no evidence really, there's no raya from Chazal or from the Torah. To go and say Chiddush Halacha, Nashim are Paturis because they're not B'nai Smochama, because you made up that the reason for the mitzvah of Zechira is because of the mitzvah of Mechia. That's not necessarily such a convincing argument. Maybe the mitzvah of Mechia Samalek, that's a mitzvah of Mochama. Zechir Samalek is an independent mitzvah. And he says, V'haraya, he sort of, not a raya, but sort of like a challenge. He says, you say that the whole purpose of Zechir Samalek is Mishum Mechia Samalek. So what does that mean about after we're finished with Mechia Samalek? Because we are going to miss Hashem, right? Ein Hashem Shalim Balei Akisei Shalim Ad Sheimach Hazari Shalom Alek, which means that La'asad Lavai, when the world comes to its tikkun, then Mechias Amalek is going to be complete. So then does the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek fall away? So the Mechitz Chinuch says that, that's all a very big chiddush. The pashtus should be that it's an independent mitzvah. The fact that Amalek attacked us is a very significant event, and we have to remember it because of the significance of the event. And there's also a mitzvah that we should act on that and do a Mechias Amalek. But this can't necessarily be seen as just a heksher for that, and whoever's putter from that has to be putter from this. So that's his third kash. He says even, but besides the fact that we would never expect Nashman to be Paturis because it's a Lavzman Grahman and there's a Laisasa involved. But the argument that you're making that they should be Pater because they're Pater from Mechias Amalek, who says that this mitzvah is bound up with that mitzvah? So those are three kashas. And now we come to the main one, it's for the purpose of this year, the one that I most want to focus on. The most, for sure, the most interesting of the part of this piece, the Mechitz Chinuch says that, even if I'll grant them all that, no, don't worry about Zman Grama, don't worry about the fact that there's a Laisa, so if we have a good reason to pot to them, we're going to pot to them. And let's suppose that he's right, that Zechiras Amalek is connected to Mechias Amalek, so it sounds like there's a good reason to pot to them. But it all relies on the assumption that Nashim are not B'nais Mochama. That the mitzvah of Mochama, that's only for men and not for women. And to that, Zok the Mechitz Chinuch, I don't think he's right about that. And this, by the way, this is in Parashat Shoftim and Parashat Kitzeitze, there's a bunch of mitzvahs having to do with Mochama. In Shoftim, right, it talks about Kitzeitze al Mochama, that the Kohen comes out and he makes all these instructions, then the Shaitrim come and they say, you know, these people should go back. There's a lot of mitzvahs having to do with Muhammad. He say, you know, Yes, Tilech Alazeinecha is a mitzvah when they're going out to Muhammad. In Shaitrim and Kiseitse, there's at least four mitzvahs in the Sefer HaChinuch that have to do with Muhammad, and four times the Sefer HaChinuch says, and all four times the Menachas Chinuch says, where do you get that from? Nashim apaturis are not included in the mitzvah to fight wars in Eretz Yisrael? Menachas Chinuch says that's not true. Nashim are included when they're in the mitzvah to fight a war in Eretz Yisrael. That mitzvah is incumbent on both men and women together. So the whole premise that was the basis for the whole Chiddush of Sefer HaChinuch, that Nashim are, you know, are, shouldn't be included in Zechira because they're not included in Mechira, because they're not B'nai Mulchama. No, they are B'nai Mulchama. Now, where does he get this from? Certainly, that sounds like a wild suggestion that the Mulchama is supposed to include, to put it into contemporary terms, Chayalim and Chayalot, you know, going out to Mulchama together. Where is that? Is that really what the Torah says? So the Menachas Chinuch says that it's a Mishnah in Saita. The Mishnah in Saita. It's talking about the mitzvah of being chazir me'orchei ha-mukhama, right? There's, you have actually, it's a little bit complicated. It is two mitzvahs, one in Shoftim and one in Kiseitse, about a chasan and kala when it comes to war. You have in Parshas Kiseitse where it says, Noki yeh lebeisei shana echas v'sim echas ishtai. Now that's talking about a chasan and kala after Nisuin, they earn Shana Rishayna. Then, as we know, there's right, marriage once upon a time had two stages. There's Nisuin, which is really what that's the second half of a marriage. That's really what we call marriage nowadays. That's a ceremony after which the Chasan Kala move in together and live together as a couple. But they used to have a different ceremony about a year earlier called Erusin or Kedushin, which in English is a betrothal, in which the chasim would be koine the kala so that she became reserved for him, and she's now an ishus ish, and she can't marry anybody else. But they continued to live as children. After that ceremony, he went back to his parents' house, and she went back to her parents' house. And the Torah says, so there's in Parashas Shoftim, it talks about how the Shoftim would announce Mia Ish Asher Iras Isha Veloy Lakacha Yelech V'Yashev Leveisai, and then in Parashas Kiseitse there's the mitzvah of Nak Yel Leveisai Shana Echas V'Simachas Ishtei Asher Lakach, and Chazal explain that the first one is talking about after Erusin and the second one is talking about after Nisuin. So if Chas and Kalav already had Nisuin, so then if there's a call to war and all the reserves are called up, so he doesn't go. He stays home for the year after the Nisuin. If he's an Erisin, he does go, but then when the Shaitan make that speech, he's sent back from the front lines and he's able to be like in the logistical support. So you have these two mitzvahs having to do with the Chasan Kala. The Mishnah in Seyit Dafim Dalet says, on these two mitzvahs, Bamed Dvar Mamurim Mochemes Rishos. This is all true for Mochemes Rishos. Aval Mochemes Mitzvah Yetzei chason mechedrai v'kala mechupasa. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. Now, in the Mishnah, it's an expression. The Mishnah is borrowing it from a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yoel. Over there, it's not talking about Muhammad. The pasuk in Yoel is actually talking about when Sarah comes to Klal Yisrael. There's going to be a famine. There's going to be, I think, locusts. And everybody has to come and daven, and the Navi says, everybody has to come and daven. Yetzei chasson mechedrei v'kala mechupasa. It's an expression, it's a way of saying, we need 100% participation. So the Mishnah borrows that term, and it says that which we read in Parashat Shoftim, in Parashat Kiseitse, that there's all of these dispensations. This one doesn't have to go to war, that one doesn't have to go to war, but med, v'amamurim, v'mochemes v'shus. Avo mochemes mitzvah, it's a mochemes mitzvah, then we need total participation. But the way that the Tana expresses 100% participation is Yetzei chason mechedroi v'kala mechupasa. So the Minchas Chinuch says, reading this Mishnah, the Mishnah mentions the Kala. Kala is a woman, obviously. And it says that she also goes out to war. So you see that by a Mochemes mitzvah, the Nashim went to bat also. The Mishnah over here is talking about the newlywed Isha. But obviously, it's not only the newlywed Isha that went to battle. If she goes to battle, that even she, that means, right, that means the Nashim go to battle. So the Mechatz Chinuch says that Nashim are B'nais Mechama. True, they're not B'nais Mechama for a Mechamas Rishus, but they are B'nais Mechama for a Mechamas Mitzvah. And considering that we're talking over here about fight against Amalek, which was a Mechamas Mitzvah, so why should Nashim be Peturais? So the whole premise that this whole Sefer Chinuch was built on, that they should be potter from Zechira because they're potter from Mechiah. They're potter from Mechiah because they're not B'nai Melchama. In fact, Sefer Chinuch, no. For Mechiah, Samalik, they are B'nai Melchama. And if they're B'nai Melchama, they're included in Mechiah, and then certainly they should be included in Zechira.
Who takes care of the kids?
That's a good question. Who takes care of the kids? If everybody goes out to war, so I suppose if we accept this premise, which again we're still gonna try to
the retirees.
We're still gonna try Rosemary. To be mafakbik on this, but if we accept this premise, I would assume that there would have to be exceptions for people that are taking care of kids. Meaning it might be, you know, men and women, but if somebody had, you know, it's like jury duty. It's for men and women, but if somebody is a primary caregiver, then they can get an exemption.
What's an example of a Mechamas Mitzvah?
It's conquering yourself from the Shivas Amen.
So that...
And destroying Amalek.
And destroying Amalek,
yeah. Even though they're not in Eretz Israel.
Hamas.
So this last kasha of the Mechatz Chinuch, this is the shot heard around the world. Like, wow. You know, the Mechatz Chinuch just said this chiddush, that in the Mechamas Mitzvah, the men and the women together go out to battle. The Mechatz Chinuch is, you know, a relatively recent sefer. He's an acher in the 1800s. And he says this chiddush, it's a tremendous chiddush. On the other hand, he's bringing it right from a Mishnah. He's not making it up out of thin air. But it's something certainly that you know, has to be assessed critically. There is interestingly, a diuk in the Rambam in the most hard-to-find place. The Rambam, you know, the Rambam where you'd expect him to talk about this in Halacha is in Hilchos Malachim. Hilchos Malachim is really, the full title is Hilchos Malachim u'Melchamos. So over there, there's halachas about war, and over there he brings the Mishnah that I just quoted, that a melchem, that the exemption for newlyweds is only for a melchemes rishus, but not for a melchemes mitzvah. But he never addresses directly women going out to war per se. But there is a very, very obscure source in the Rambam. It's not in the Mishnah Torah; it's in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Within the Sefer HaMitzvos, and this is obscure, shabbat obscure. Because within the Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, the bulk of the Sefer HaMitzvos is the list of the mitzvos, right? Where there's a paragraph describing each of the 240 mitzvahs say and the 365 mitzvahs leisaseh. We've mentioned a few times, you know, over the years, that there's really two halves to the Sefer HaMitzvos. The second half is the list of the mitzvahs. The first half is the shrushim. The shrushim, the 14 shrushim, where he lays down the rules for what gets counted in the minyan HaMitzvos and what doesn't. So I usually say those are the two halves of the Sefer HaMitzvos. But the truth is, there's a couple of paragraphs between the two halves. After the Shrashim, before the Minyanim, where the Rambam says, you know, we're going to list the mitzvahs in order and, you know, divide them into two categories. It's the same as this Leisas. And the truth is that there are other divisions that could be made of the mitzvahs, that you could categorize them by mitzvahs that apply nowadays, and mitzvahs that apply only in certain times. You could categorize them by mitzvahs that apply all over the world, and mitzvahs that don't apply in Eretz Yisrael. You could categorize them by mitzvahs that apply to everyone, and mitzvahs that only apply to some people. And he throws out a bunch of numbers, and he says there's so many mitzvahs that apply to everyone, and so many mitzvahs that only apply to these people. And on that page, it's a short little piece, on that page, where he talks about how some mitzvahs apply to everyone, some mitzvahs only apply to some people. Like, for example, women are part from a lot of mitzvahs, like they're part from the mitzvahs say Shazman Grama. And then he adds the following words. Ve'enam nilchamos b'melchemes rishus. The Rambam says they don't fight in a melchemes rishus, which very clearly indicates that they do fight in a melchemes mitzvah.
Yeah.
that nashim, so that which is exactly the position of the minchas chinuch, that they're chayiv to fight in a melchamas mitzvah, that's supported by this Rambam, that says einin melchamas chamas rishus. Now,
what about the inyan of sneers?
Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. So, I guess you're taking me a little bit out of order. I was gonna address something else first, but you asked, what about the inyan of tznius? So let's go to that right now. The Radvaz asks this kasha. The Radvaz is a commentary on the Rambam, and he on the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, where he brings down this Mishnah that by a Melchemes Mitzvah, the newlywed also has to go out. Yetzei chasam echej v'kalam echupasa. He said, he asks, the Mishnah sounds like the women also go, kalam echupasa. Frek the Radvaz, kol kavud bas melech pnima. That, there's a value, there's a Jewish value that doesn't seem to allow us to consider that Nashim are going out to fight the war with the men.
Pikuach nefesh.
So,
Melchemes Mitzvah is basically the coming, right?
And even so, the Radvaz says, how could it be? Kol kavud bas melech pnima. That's the Radvaz asks this kasha. And he gives two answers. One of the answers is an argument that completely undoes the whole diuk of the Menchas Chinuch. He says, I think you're misreading the Mishnah. Of course, Nashim don't go to war. Warfare is only for men. The army is only for men. And women have no shaykhs to the army. The Mishnah said that if you have a new chasen kala, and the pasuk says see my chasen, everybody stays home. But that's only for melchamas rishus. If it's a melchamas mitzvah, so what does the Mishnah say? Yetzei chasen mechedroi v'kala mechupasa. Says what it means is yetzei chasen mechedroi. He goes to war. Once he goes to war, so what's the kala going to stay under the chuppah for?
Right.
No point in staying under a chuppah all by yourself. A chuppah is only for a couple. Your husband's not there anymore, so go home.
Good
day. So Tate say kala mechupasa to go home because there's no point in staying in the chuppah without a chasen. So that's how you read the Mishnah. That a vade doesn't mean that the kala is going to the war. It means she's going home, and she's Tate say mechupasa because the chasen's not there anymore. Then he says another possibility, and in his second possibility is already acknowledging the possibility, the tzad that the Menchas Chinuch said that Nashim go to war, but he's putting a whole different spin on it. He says, "Va'oydi shloimar," that maybe, yeah, Nashim go to war also, but not in a fighting capacity. They go to war to lefoisul avashel. An army needs a lot of different roles. You have the fighters, and you have other people that are providing them with their needs. So if it's wartime, so yeah, you need the whole nation to get involved in the effort, but the men with the male roles and the women with the female roles. So he says, yeah, if there's a diuk from this Mishnah that Nashim are part of the army, it means lefis v'levasha. That's what the Radvaz says. So he has these two tzadim. One side is that no, the Mishnah is not really saying anything about Nashim being part of the army. In his second side, he says that if they are, it means that they're there to provide them with the food and, and I guess other things also, whatever, to sew the uniforms, but not to be fighters. Now, in the Rambam, we said before there's a diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam, like the Menchas Chinuch, thinks that by a Melchemes Mitzvah, Nashim do go out. The word that we saw in the Rambam was nilchamos, that they fight. One might make a diuk that the Rambam holds not like the first teretz of the Radvaz, but even not like the second teretz of the Radvaz. He actually has them in combat units. That's maybe the simplest reading of the Rambam. But on the other hand, you have to keep in mind that when we read a Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, we're reading it in translation. So, what did the original say? If you're being medayik l'shaynoi, so you have to know exactly what the original was. I don't know, just being aware of that. But the lashon as we have it in the Rambam sounds like by Muhammad's Mitzvah, they're actually nilchamos. So we have the Rambam, this diuk in the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch, who clearly says that the women have a part of the mitzvah. of fighting the wars. The Radvaz, who calls it into question, gives us an old, possible alternative reading of the Mishnah. Now, on the other hand, there's a very strong argument to be made against this whole Chiddush of the Mechas Chanach, and that is from Psukim. Beferish Psukim, in the Chumash, in numerous places, never quite, you know, like a lashon of a mitzvah, but more like kind of storytelling. In Parshas B'Shalach, when Amalek first attacked Bnei Yisrael, right, the original Melchemes Amalek that we're remembering, it says, "Vayomer Moshe el Yeshua, b'char lanu anashim, anashim, v'tzehi lachem Amalek." That's the Farish Pasuk, that the army is comprised of anashim. There's another Melchama that we have in Parshas Matos, where Moshe Rabbeinu told Elazar to go fight against Midian. And what's the lashon of the pasuk over there? I don't remember the lashon, but again, it uses the word anashim. Anashim Latzava. Anashim Latzava. I'm not going to bother looking for it now, but the, I don't have the previous word in my head, but it says Anashim Latzava. Hey, Cholzu Me'itchem Anashim Latzava. That's the Lashon of the Pasuk. Hey, Cholzu Me'itchem Anashim Latzava. Again, you have the word Anashim. And then, those are two places where the Torah is describing an army and it uses the word Anashim, which implies that Anashim were not part of the army. Here's an even better diyak. When the Bnei Gad of Bnei Ruvain are talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, they said, mm-hmm. We want to stay on this side, and Moshe Rabbeinu got very angry at them, and they said, no, I'm sorry, you misunderstood. We really mean that we're going to go fight the war, but then afterwards we're going to come back, and our home will be on this side. So they said that we're going to build cities here, and Tapenu, Nashenu, Mekneinu, V'chol Behemteinu will stay over here. We'll go fight the war, Nechaleitz Chushim, and then we're going to come back. So Tapenu, Nashenu is mefurish that the Nashim stayed home when the men went to battle. So the Mechasen, and that's Mechamez Mitzvah. All three of these Bepashas, but this one for sure, this is the classic Mechamez Mitzvah. This is the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So for the Mechas Chinuch to go say that Chiddush, that by a Mechamez Mitzvah, Nashim take part in the war, seems to go against all of these Psukim. Very hard Chiddush to accept. Although, again, there's a diuk in the Rambam, but it's very hard to get around these diukim and all of the Psukim. And I also would add a ha'ara to this topic, Akasha. On the Minchas Chanoch and the Rambam, that again, this Diuk in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos that seems to indicate that he held like the Minchas Chanoch, that Nashim take part in a war when it's a Melchemes Mitzvah. So I have a Ha'ara. That position, that they take part when it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, but not when it's a Melchemes Rishus. I don't know where anyone gets a Makar for that. They're coming from the Mishnah, that said, So, and those words, kalam echupasa, that's what tells us that Nashim take part. And it was said about a Melchemes Mitzvah. That's true. But the point of that Mishnah, the Mishnah wasn't coming to differentiate between men and women. The point of the Mishnah was not men versus women. That was just the deek that we had, that when they were talking about universal participation, they mentioned Kalam Echopasa, so even women are included. But what was the point of the Mishnah? The point of the Mishnah was to differentiate between newlyweds and everyone else. That a husband, a man, is part of a Mechemes Rishus, but he's chayav in a Mechemes Mitzvah. Right? An Arus, right? Somebody that was just Eres, Ish, V'lai L'kacha, he has only partial responsibility to a Mechemes Rishus, but he has full responsibility to a Mechemes Mitzvah. So it was really coming to differentiate between newlyweds and others. So if the diuk is correct, that Kalam Echupasa indicates that Nashim are also included, then Nashim should be included in a Mechemes Rishus and a Mechemes Mitzvah. The only difference would be about a Kala. A Kala is only going to be chayav in a Mechemes Mitzvah and part from a Mechemes Rishus. But the single girl or the woman that's already married for more than a year, if she's chayav in the Melchames Mitzvah, she'll be chayav in the Melchames Rishus also. Because the only differentiation that the Mishnah is making between the Melchames Rishus and the Melchames Mitzvah is between newlyweds and others. The reference to the women was incidental. But if you accept that reference as a raya that women take part, they should take part in the Melchames Rishus also. And yet the Rambam says not like that. The Rambam says, you know, it's just a brief reference in a mitzvah discussion about, you know, in this about divisions of mitzvahs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's hard to know, you know, he's not telling us where he's coming from, but if he's getting it from that Mishnah, so I have a real kasha on that. How could you get from that Mishnah to be mechayev them a melchames mitzvah and not a melchames rishus? That Mishnah, if it indicates that they're chayavis, I would think that they should be chayavis in both, in all melchames. So that's a tzarachian. So I'm ending this part of the discussion about the role of women in war with just Mar Mokaymus Lakan and Lakan. We have a bunch of, you know, it would seem to be, you know, if you'd ask me, do women take part in a war? So it would seem, you know, I would have thought, of course not. You have a bunch of psukim in the Torah that are really explicit, that war is for men and not for women. And by the way, we should mention, just to add to that list of Mar Mokaymus, we've mentioned a bunch of psukim, we could also add to that, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos that says that for a woman to walk with a sword is a violation of Yilbash Gever Simla Sisha, or Clay Gever, right? Shouldn't be on a isha, right? I'm sorry, I don't remember the lashon of the pasuk. Right, but there's an issue of a woman going with clay gever, and the Mishnah says that a sword is an example of a clay gever. So again, that's another raya that there was never an expectation that women are taking part of the war. Although, of course, that raya, you know, is not a problem with the Radvaz's suggestion that they take part, but only in support roles. So then, okay, that's not with a sword. But you have a bunch of psukim that indicate that it's only on Nashim. Nashim stay home altogether at times of war.
Somebody has to cook for the soldiers.
That's a bunch of Marmor Karim. On the other hand, you have this diuk in the Rambam. You have maybe a diuk in the Mishnah, although, like I said, the diuk from the Mishnah, if you're going to follow the diuk, might sound like even more than the Rambam saying, but you have this diuk in the Rambam, and the Menchas Chinuch, who stakes out this position and, you know, says it very emphatically, he says it four times, Nashim do participate in a war when it's the Melchames Mitzvah. That's the position of the Menchas Chinuch. So, the bottom line, the position seems to be a Tzarech Iyun, but it's supported by a Rambam. So, you know, I'm not sure what to do with that. Al-Kapan,
like Gani said earlier, you know, Pikuach Nefesh, I mean, Habala Hogacha, Hashkem Lahogacha, that applies to women too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
So Pikuach Nefesh, you know, in times of war, the rules of Pikuach Nefesh are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, for example, would you say the rule of Pikuach Nefesh would also say that any time that the enemy attacks or threatens to attack, you should surrender. Because otherwise, you know, that's the best way to save everybody's life. But there's no such rule. Milchama, there's rules of milchama. You know, there's rules of warfare, which are different than the rules during military, civilian circumstances.
Okay.
So the question is a good question. That's not a full answer, but that's just a ha'ara. It's not really so posh.
Well, the Torah discusses if he finds a fast tire, what he's got to do with her.
Right.
But it doesn't discuss if she sees a good-looking man. that means she's not in the battle.
But that's the enemy.
I hear that's a nice hour.
Oh, the Torah will mention it too.
There's a lot to think about on that.
She wasn't a soldier.
You
went to war against
them.
And she wasn't a soldier. But she was the enemy. I'm answering him.
You don't hear my kasha. You don't understand the question.
It's just like he sees a pretty woman.
She can see a good-looking guy.
It is food for thought. Okay, I wanna come back to the initial discussion, right? The Sefer Chinuch said this chiddush that Nashim are peturais. And the Menchas Chinuch said that he was very surprised by that. He asked four kashas against it. That last kasha was the most provocative, but al kapanim, that was the debate that we began with. Nashim archayavis or anachayavis in the mitzvah of zechiras amalek. Now, we also mentioned earlier in the shir that there's a big machlokes rishonim about what is the mitzvah of zechiras amalek. Is it a mitzvah of kriyas ha-teira, or is it a mitzvah of raising children, you know, of how you raise your children, raise your children to know about amalek. So there's something a little bit ironic here in the Sefer HaChinuch's position on Nashim Ar Peturais, because the Sefer HaChinuch B'pashtos holds like the Ramban. The Rambam also seems most likely to hold like the Rambam, like the Ramban. That is not a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And you know, if I would ask, are Nashim Chayavos or Peturais, it would seem, again, these two stars are both debatable, but at least as a starting point, it would seem kind of, you'd expect that on the tzad that Zachar is a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, then we're more inclined to hear that Nashim should be Peturais. If it's, they're always part of Kriyas HaTorah, it's a mitzvah in shul, it's part of the davening, right? Those are things that usually Nashim are Peturais from. If it's a mitzvah of how to raise your children, so that you'd expect, if anything, that Nashim are very much involved in raising the children. So, you'd sooner say that they'd be Peturais on the Kriyas HaTorah side than on the raising the children side. So that makes it particularly ironic. I don't mean this as a kasha, but just a little bit surprising that the Sefer HaChinuch, who B'pashtos holds like the Ramban, that it is a mitzvah of raising your children to have an awareness, nevertheless, he holds the Nashim Ar Peturais. I make this ha'ara sort of as a segue because it leads us to the Rosh. The Rosh is on the side of the Ram, of Tosfos. The Rosh holds that it's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. For the Rosh to say that Nashim Ar Peturais from Zechiras HaMalek would be more expected. That from this perspective would be less surprising. So there's a very geshmaka diuk, a really geshmaka shtickle, where somebody, one of the achrayim, made a diuk to say that the Rosh also holds, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that Nashim Ar Peturais from the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. And the diuk goes like this. It's a little bit of a complicated discussion. We're going to go first a little far afield onto a totally different topic, and then you'll see that it's going to come back to Zechiras HaMalek. There's a Gemara, a well-known Gemara in Brachas Af Mem Zayin, where it says that one time Rav Elazar came to shul and they were trying to put together a minyan, but they only had 9 people. But Rav Elazar came with his slave. So Rav Elazar said, you know what, we need a minyan here. I'm going to be meshachar my Eved. He set his slave free, and then Eved Kanani, after he's meshachar, he becomes a full-fledged Yisrael. That's mashlim, his Kedushas Yisrael. He has a mix of Kedushas Yisrael while he's a slave. But now he was meshachar him, he has a full Kedushas Yisrael, and voila, then there's a minion. And of course, you read the story, and the first thing that strikes us is that it's a tremendous mysterious nefesh that he has for the mitzvah, because that's a significant asset that he just gave away. He had a slave. A slave is worth a lot of money, but he wanted a minion, so he gave away a fortune, and he had a minion. The Gemara focuses on a different aspect of it. It's not just a mysterious nefesh because he gave away a fortune, but he also violated a mitzvah because the Torah says you're not supposed to free a slave. If you have a Eved Kanani, you're not supposed to be meshachar him. And the Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim shani. That minion, that's such a big deal. That's to get a mitzvah derabim. It helps the whole tzibur. So that's a justification for violating the assay against freeing your slave. Taisa says that we see in that Gemara a significant chiddush. The mitzvah derabim is such a great milah that it helps to allow even a derabanan to trump a deraisa. Because if you think about what we were weighing over here, you wanted a minyan. So what's a minyan for? To say kaddish, kedusha, maybe kriyas ha-teira. These are all derabanans. Minyan is always derabanan. And he violated Lo'ilam Mahem Tavayidu. That's a pasuk in the Torah. How could a derabbanan override a deraisa? And to that, the Gemara says, well, it's a mitzvah derabim. So you see that mitzvah derabim is such a great maila that it allows even a derabbanan to trump a deraisa. And that it's an interesting ha'ara in its own right, but it's not just an interesting little piece of trivia. Zok Taisa, it's very negeya halacha l'maisa. There was a big debate in the times of the Rishonim about if somebody, Rahman al-Islam, somebody's relative, dies on Yom Tif Ha'achrin, Shal Goliyos, last day of Yom Tif, where we in Chutz La'aretz have a day of Yom Tif, and in Eretz Yisrael they're already Ois Yom Tif. This day is obviously only Dirabbanan, right? Yom Tif Shein Shal Goliyos is only Dirabbanan. Midei Reis, it's not Yom Tif anymore, Midei Rabbanan it is, and somebody's relative died. So he has a mitzvah of Avelus. Avelus, Yom Rishon, is Dei Reisa. Is it Dereisa? It's debatable. Tosfos does debate it. We mentioned, I think we've had a shiur about this. The Rambam holds it's Dereisa. But this piece is working. Tosfos is quoting a Bahag. The Bahag went with the assumption that it's Dereisa. So let's accept that as a Hanacha. So Tosfos quotes the opinion of the Bahag that since the Avelus is Dereisa and the Yom Tif is only Drabbanon, so even though ordinarily we know that, you never sit Shiva on Yom Tif, but over here you would, because it's the Yom Rishon of your Avelus, Yom Rishon Dereisa. It's the last day of Yom Tov, and that day is only Drabbanon, because it's Yom Shin and Shal Goliyos. So Dereisa, Trump said Drabbanon. So you sit Shiva, even though everybody else is going to Shul. It's Yom Tov, everybody else is, celebrating. But for you, Rechman al-Tan, it's Avelus. That's the Shita of the Bahag. And Tosis argues. Tosis says, no, you never, ever, ever sit Shiva on Yom Tov. I don't care even if it's the Yom Tov, the Yom Rishon of Avelus, which is Dereisa, and it's the Yom Tov Achron and Shal Goliyos, which is Drabbanon. You never sit Shiva on Yom Tov. How could the Yom Tov Drabbanon trump the Avelus Dereisa? So Tosis, in this Gemara, you see it. You see that a Drabbanon could trump a Dereisa if it has the Maila of Mitzvah Drabbim. And that's exactly what you have over here. Because the Avelus, this person, Nabachi, lost a father, a mother, he's an Avel. The Yom Tif is for everybody. The whole, or at least the whole Gaila, right? All he is in the outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's a Mitzvah Derabim. So get yourself into Shul. Be part of the Mikra Kodesh and the Samach Bechagecha of the Rabim. And that's going to override your Avelus Diyachid, even though it's a Derabbanon overriding a Dereisa. Mitzvah Derabim can do that.
But an Onen and Yom Tif.
Yeah, it's a lot of shyness about that. So that's the argument that Tosfos makes over here to argue against the Bahag, because you see from this Gemara that the Mitzvah Derabim is such a great milah that it allows the Drabbanon to trump a Dereisa.
I mean, the Torah does tell you that if you meshacher an evik 90, there's a procedure for it.
Right.
So maybe loylem tavoid is like the concept of evik nani is always there, but you're allowed to be meshacher for there's not really isur and that you're not oyver on an assay.
But the Gemara does say so. The Gemara says I'm a shacher avdoi. I think it's a member of Shmuel. I'm a shacher avdoi oyver ba'asay.
When does that come?
It's interesting. It's an assay. The Torah tells you a method to do it. What happens?
Right. Meaning it's like so clearly it's not always usur.
Right.
Right? That's true. That's a good horror.
When does that get a bris? After bris meshachar? Four. Does he need it?
Four.
Next week.
8 days later.
Maybe. before Pesach.
Right. Before Pesach?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's ma'akiv the Adam from eating the Kerman Pesach. Where were we holding? Yeah, so along comes the Rush. The Rush says to Tosfos, and here you see where it gets back to our shir. The Rush says to Tosfos that although I actually agree with you that you don't sit Shiva on Yom Tov even in this circumstance where it's that Avelus Dereisa Achron Shel Pesach or Achron Shel Yom Tov Achron Shel Goliyos, I agree with you that you don't sit Shiva. But the Raya that you are bringing from that Gemara that you see over there, that Gemara, that Raya is not a Raya. You're bringing Raya from that Gemara that you see the Mitzvah Derabim is such a big Mila that it allows a Derabbanan to trumpet Dereisa. How did you know that Rabbi Elazar's minion in that Gemara was for a Derabbanan? Maybe it was a Dereisa. Where do you ever see a concept of a minion Dereisa? Zechiras HaMalek. Parsha Zachar is a Dereisa and he's a minion. So maybe, the Gemara doesn't say what day Rabbi Elazar came to Shul. Maybe he came to Shul the Shabbos before Purim, and they needed the minion on a Dereisa level. And that, the Gemara says, Mr. Rabbim allowed him to trump the Lailah Mem Tavoidu. So therefore, Tosfos says, Raya falls away.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Shabbos Zohar is the Raisa, or the learning or the hearing of it is the Raisa? In other words, would last week have been at the Raisa?
So that's a good shayla. It's not the Raisa that it be done dafka then, but it is the Raisa that it be done at some time.
So last Shabbos could have been the Raisa.
Right. You could be Mekayim the you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah Parshat Kisei Tzei. Yeah,
so,
sure.
So why don't they read it two ways?
But they, when Rebbe Lozer came to shul, they were coming to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, whenever it was.
That they were coming with the goal to be Mekayim
right.
the Mitzvah. But you could do it anytime.
True, right. But they were coming to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and they needed a minion. So he was Meshachar Zevitz. It's like the Rashi, you don't have a raya that a Derabbanan could ever trump a day raisa. Now, this Rosh is... a very big Kiddush. He sounds like he's adding to what we said before about Shitas Tosis that Zachar is a Mitzvah Deiraisa. It sounds like he's holding not only is Zachar a Mitzvah Deiraisa, but even the minion of Zachar is Deiraisa. That's what the Shubas Adeshin would like from that rush. Others say that no, maybe that's not Muchach. The rush doesn't mean that the minion is Deiraisa, but it just means it's a minion for Deiraisa. But Al Kapanim, the rush says that maybe there was a Deiraisa involved over here because they were dealing with Parsha Zachar.
And you need a minion to light? What is it?
Right. You do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says in the Mishnah in Megillah. That's one of the things that you don't do when it's Parchas Me'asara is Kriyas HaTeira.
Okay.
But
you could link.
So now, there was a Talmud Chacham who had the following Shigal Teira. Who is he? All I know is that he was the Shoyel in a Shailas Tshuva in the Binyan Sin. That's the Aruch HaNer. He wrote this idea to the Aruch HaNer. And he wanted to say that from this Rosh, I have a raya that the Rosh holds like the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, who said this very big chiddush, that Nashim HaPaturah is from Zechiras HaMalek, I see the Rosh holds that way also. Why? Because the Rosh wants to say that the story of Rebbe Lazar freeing his slave was, maybe it wasn't for Stam HaKadosh or Baruch Hu, it was for Zachar. So now I ask you, if it was for Zachar, what did he have to free his slave for? If we assume, like most people think, right, other than the Sefer HaChinuch, most people think that the mitzvah of Zachar, it's Mitzvah Shalaya, it's Ma'an Grama, so everyone's Chayavites, the men and the women. Mm. Well, any mitzvah that a woman is Chayavites in, Avadim are also Chayavites. Eved Knani is the same status as an Eved, as an Isha. So the Eved could have been part of the minyan. So what did he have to be Meshachar Zevet for? He came to shul, he looked at there were 10 people. What did he have to be Meshachar Zevet? According to the Rush, who says that they were coming for Parsha Zachar, what did he have to be Meshachar Zevet for? Teretz is, because the Rush holds, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that Nashim HaPaturis from Zachar. And if Nashim HaPaturis, hold on one second, even if Nashim HaPaturis, so Avadim HaPaturis, so then they were down to 9, and that's why you have to be Meshachar Zevet.
Even if the Chayovis, yeah. That doesn't mean they made Starf Dominion.
Oh, exactly. Very good. So that was the response of the Aruch HaNer. This was the Shekel Torah that somebody wrote, which was a clever and creative Shekel Torah, but the Aruch HaNer shot it down. And he said back, that just because we're debating whether they're chayavis in the mitzvah or not chayavis in the mitzvah, but that has nothing to do with whether they can be part of the minyan. Even if they are chayavis in the mitzvah, but if the mitzvah has to be done with the minyan, a minyan is defined as 10 men. Right. And that's going to be true for everything. Even for if the minyan is convening for a matter in which men and women are equally chayav, but if that matter needs a minyan, then the minyan has to be with 10 men. And now, so that's how the Aruch HaNer shoots this down, and then you don't have any dig from this Rosh. Let me just make a tzusha. We'll end with this. Where else does this Shaila arise? If you're trying to get a minion, okay, in this case, you're not trying to get a minion, but it's relevant to know whether there is a minion or there isn't a minion for a matter in which men and women are equally chayavais. And the answer is, Mesiris Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. We talked about this a few months ago. That there's right. That ordinarily, if it's not for avodah zarah gilas shvichas damim, everybody has to be meiros nefesh. If it's not avodah zarah gilas shvichas damim, so you don't have to be meiros nefesh. You're allowed to do that there. But the Gemara says, but that's only if it's betzina. But if it's for hesya, afilu mitzvah kala yiharig val yaver. What's called a for hesya? A minion. Now the halacha that you have to sacrifice your life for kiddush Hashem is equally true for men and women. So, right, the halacha, let's give an example, right, that that even if it's not the regular shvich adam, let's say it's just to eat a cheeseburger, but if it's in public in front of a lot of people, then you have to give up your life for that. A woman also has to give up her life for that, no less than a man, but only if it's for hesia. How do you find that? How do you define that for hesia? So in the Gemara, it's clear that it means a minion. It means 10 people. Do those 10 people have to be men? What if it's, you know, what if the Rishayim burst into, with their guns blazing, they burst into a Beis Yaakov, and they go over to the Mora, and they say, you better eat this cheeseburger, Rahman al-Salam, right? Otherwise we're going to kill you. And it's in front of all of her students. Does that count as is that called Befer Hesia or not? So in Yerideh Kufnun Zion, the Ber Hetev says that he thinks that it's, there's no rias in the Gemara or in his Rishayim as far as he was able to see, but he said mistama, it means a real minion, the same kind of minion that you need for Kaddish. A minion is dafka for of men. Again, it's without a raya, but that's what the Ber Hetev says, that the minion is defined as men, even though the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh is men and women equally. And that's the same svara that you're saying now, that the Aruch HaNer is saying, Lagabe Zachar. That even if Nosher and Michayov is in Zachar, but the minion that you need for the Kriyas HaTorah of Zachar is going to still have to be men and not women.